We're doing the book of Amos. We're up to what's called the sixth chapter, the eighth pasuk. The Navi had been telling us about people who were overly confident, who believed that destruction couldn't come. And God warns them, take a good look around you. And you're so confident, you say, go ahead, God, show us what you got. These people who the Navi described would sleep on ivory beds, would exchange wives with one another, eat steak all the time, have music playing all the time, drink wine and anoint themselves with the best oils. These people who weren't concerned about the destruction that was imminent. So Hashem says, these people will head the way into exile. And Hashem says, the time will come when Hashem will remove from them all the excess that they had. Pasuk Chet. Nishba Adonai Elohim b'nafsho, Ne'um Adonai Elohei Tzevaot, Mitaei v'anochi et Geon Yaakov, Ve'al menotav saneiti ve'hisgalti ir umlo'ah. Hashem swears by himself, so to speak, that on the one hand, I truly love the honor of Yaakov, the Beit HaMikdash. On the other hand, I hate their palaces. Mita'ev is like ta'ava. I desire. Hashem says, I over here, this is the simple reading, that mita'ev means I love. Rashi goes with the Targum, that the Targum makes mita'ev with an aleph, like mita'ev with an ayin. Mita'ev with an ayin means I'm disgusted with, I'm going to destroy the temple. Two completely opposite understandings here. What does it mean, mita'ev anochit gon Yaakov? I love the temple, or I will destroy the temple. Dalminotav saneti, and the castles of Yaakov, where these people are focused on enjoying themselves, those places I hate, Hashem says, and therefore I will give it over, I will give the city over into the hands of the enemies, and being that I'm giving the city over, so then the temple too will be destroyed. Once the city is destroyed, so the temple too, v'isigalti, and I will give over to the enemies, irum lo'a, the city and everything within it, including the temple. And here it seems like the Navi is talking about Jerusalem. Ir over here, the simple reading, the Ir is Jerusalem. The Navi began his prophecy talking both to Zion and to Mount Shomron. You saw, see in the beginning of the sixth chapter, he calls to the people who are calm in Zion and those who are confident in Shomron in the north. But now the Navi is focusing on Jerusalem. Vehaya im yivateru asara anashim bevayit echad vameitu. The Navi says, if there'll be 10 people left hiding in a home from the enemy, those 10 people will die, the enemy will burn the houses, and people will all be burnt alive. Hashem says, there won't even be one left. Unsa'o dodo umsarifo lehotzi atzamim min habayit ve'amar la'asher biyarketei habayit ha'od imach ve'amar afes. The Navi describes that after the house will be burnt down, so then a person's uncle, his father's brother, or misarefo, which is his uncle, his mother's brother, they will come and they will carry them, lehotzi atzamim min habayit, to take the bones out of the house. The misarefo could mean a type of uncle, misarefo could mean a friend. they will come and take the bones out of the house. And the one carrying out the bones will say to the one who's at the end of the house looking for bones like him, he'll meet up with another relative who's looking for bones in the house, and he'll say, Ha'odimach, is there any more bones to take out of this house? Ve'amar afis, and he'll say, no, whatever bones there were have already been burnt. Ve'amar has ki lo lehazkir b'shem Adonai. And then the other one will reply, don't keep talking about it. The ones who were burnt, we can't think why God caused them to be burnt, because we both know that they were people who were lo lehazkir, did anything but to mention the name of God. They constantly were running after their idols, and the truth is, even though they're our relatives, we know they deserved it. So the Navi began earlier. In the previous chapter, the Navi said, don't judge after God, because you know that the destruction that's coming, the people deserve the destruction that's coming. And here the Navi is describing that there'll be a terrible destruction. People will be burnt, their bones will be burnt. And their own relatives will say to one another, let's not talk about it, because we know that they deserved it. Ki hine Adonai nitzaveh v'ikah habayit hagadol resisim. Hashem says, I have commanded, ki hine Hashem mitzaveh, for behold, Hashem has commanded, v'ikah habayit hagadol resisim, the big house, which is a reference to the northern 10 tribes, will be smashed to smithereens. And the smaller house will be broken. That's a reference to the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judea, will be broken into smaller pieces, into smaller breaches, into bigger pieces that you could fix. And that's the idea that the southern tribes, their destruction was fixed. Meaning the southern tribes came back and rebuilt the second temple. So the northern tribes were smashed to smithereens. They never came back. The southern tribes, they were broken, a smaller breaking. They were broken into larger pieces. Their breaking wasn't as severe, and that's why they were rebuilt. And that's what the Navi is alluding to here. Yes?
The southern tribes had much better leadership. Is that why the northern tribes were led astray? I mean, why is it that Jewish people, two people with both Jewish souls, divine souls in Hashem, right? One dramatically went one way and one went another way. Is that because of the leadership?
I think that historically, the northern tribes were severed from the temple, and their kings were always concerned that if the people go back to the temple, they'll go back to taking a king from the Davidic dynasty. They'll go under the reign of the southern tribes. So the kings of the north encouraged idol worship. So you had people going after pagan ways, which led them astray in everything.
There was no leader who saw monotheism. I don't understand, like, why
the last leader, Hoshea ben Elah.
Okay.
The last leader said, whoever wants to go to the temple could go. But by that time, you had centuries of people who had their old calendar destroyed, changed by the kings of the north. Mm-hmm. So they didn't even know when the holidays were. He had a generation that was already great-great-great-grandchildren who had grown up serving the idols in the north, the idols in the south. He had idol worship all over the country, and no one was interested.
And the southern tribes were...
They were around the temple. They didn't have all this idol worship.
I mean,
they also had idol worship. The Navi Yechezkel describes that even into the temple they brought their idols. But it wasn't the same thing, because the kings... More or less, I mean, we're monotheists. The south also had their wicked kings. But the south was better off that way.
But I thought the Shekhinah was present during the temple period, so why would people have the audacity if there was an obvious understanding? In today's time, to find Hashem is each person's own personal journey. During the times of especially the first temple, there was, from what I understand, a high level of observation of the Shekhinah. So why the audacity, and why to bring in... An idol seems a little far-fetched.
Hashem keeps a balance in the world. Hashem always gives us b'chira chofshit, free choice. So the people in the desert could end up worshipping a golden calf after that clear revelation 40 days earlier, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
In the time of the first temple, it was the same thing. Don't forget that the Rambam writes what really drives a person to question God's existence is the fact that he wants promiscuity. At the end of the day, the man is an animal. And deep down inside, he wants to be an animal. And he doesn't want to recognize the godliness that's within him and live up to it. So there's always that desire deep down inside to question. And maybe this is right. Maybe that's right. All these pagan cults had all kinds of things. You know, you say the men were switching wives with one another. Men were comparing notes with one another. How many girls did you sleep with today? The Talmud says they'd meet up with one another and they'd compare notes. What type of girl did you sleep with today? A fat girl or a skinny girl? A white girl or a brown girl? The Gemara actually goes through the conversations they had. I think it's in Shabbos. I mean, Shabbos or Yuma. The Gemara describes the conversations they were having. If that's the life a person wants to lead, he wants to eat his steaks, he wants to eat his wine, that's not going to go hand in hand with the service of God. And then what happens is that the rabbi, or in their case, the prophet, is a nuisance. So you need an alternative. So you get a false prophet. So you start going after the pagan gods. It's a true temptation. It's really... deep down inside, it's every person's temptation. So today, we don't have the temptation to do it through idol worship. We look for other ways. But at the end of the day, you know, it's very normal that a person doesn't want to live up to the truth. There's partiality here. And Hashem always leaves us room to make a choice the other way.
The term used here for the temple, the glory of Yaakov, is that
no, Geon Yaakov in many places is a reference to the temple. Yeah.
Why Yaakov?
Yaakov is a reference to Israel when we're on a low level. Yaakov is like the word akil, heel. Pasuk Yud Bet. Hayrutzun basela susim im yacharosh ba bekarim. Hashem says, do you think horses can run in places where there's stones? That's not going to work. They're going to break their heels. And im yacharosh ba bekarim, and can a person go through stones and try to plow them? The stone with his cattle, he'll destroy the cattle, he'll destroy the plow, it's not going to work. And you can't go against certain laws of nature. And when you try to, you only lose. Ki hafachtem lerosh mishpat ufri tzedakah lela'ana. And by the same token, Hashem says, when you try to undo the laws of the Torah, what you've done is really you've turned the rosh ki hafachtem lerosh. You took the rosh as a type of a bitter plant, and you took the mishpat of the Torah and you turned it into rosh. Hafachtem lerosh mishpat. You turned the justice of the Torah into this bitter plant. You chose to go in the laws of the pagans, ufri tzedakah, and instead of taking the fruits of the Torah, the righteousness of the Torah, you chose to pick the la'ana, which is another type of bitter herb. They usually go hand in hand, rosh and la'ana, in the Torah also. You have these two bitter plants together, rosh and la'ana, the two types of extremely bitter plants, and the Navi is saying, just like a person who tries to go against the laws of nature, he tries to run with his horse in a place where there's all kinds of gravel and stones that'll hurt his feet, he'll destroy the horse, it's not going to work. A person tries to take his cattle and plow through a stone, it's not going to work. But the same token, it's not going to work that the Jewish people took the justice of the Torah and they turned it into bitterness, they turned it into the laws of the pagans, they took the righteousness of the Torah and they turned it into the bitter ways of the pagans. Hasemechim lelo davar. They're happy over nothing, the Navi says. What are they happy over? They're happy over a short-lived success. Ha'omerim halo v'choskeinu lakachnu lanu karnayim. These are the people that say, we took strength to ourselves. It is with our might, halo v'choskeinu, it is with our strength that we've been successful. Lakachnu lanu karnayim. We took for ourselves horns, which is a way of saying we took strength for ourselves. Our strength is what made us even stronger. We're so smart, we're so strong, we're the power in the Middle East, we're the intelligence in the Middle East. That's why we're successful. And the Navi says, you're forgetting to attribute credit where credit is due. I made you successful. Hasimechim, you're happy lelo davar, over nothing. Ki hineni mekim aleichem Beit Yisrael Ne'um Adonai Elohei Tzevaot Goy Velachatzu etchem Milevo chamat Ad nachal ha'arava. Because Hashem says, I'll prove it to you. Now that you've sinned, all that strength is going to go down. And I will place upon you a nation that will come and attack, and they will oppress from the Hamat, from the place that people come to Israel from Hamat, which is the northern entrance to Israel, till Nachal Arava, till the river of the south, which is the southern extreme of Israel. So Hashem says there will be oppression throughout the land. The Assyrian Empire is going to come and exile most of the people. Millions of people were exiled, intermarried, sold as slaves, killed. He had a great Holocaust at this time. So the Navi says, why are you so confident? What are you so happy about? When I read this, you should know, what I visualize when I read about the bones, I visualize the last train to Auschwitz. We can't judge why God did it. But it's well known that the last train to Auschwitz were third generation Jews whose great grandparents assimilated and said, this way the nations won't have it against us. And the Navi
what
says,
does he mean by
that,
sorry?
What?
What does he mean by that?
The Navi says that there comes a time when people will look at the bones that are burnt and they'll say, we can't judge God over this. We know that there's an answer. So I'm not saying we have an answer over all the Jews that were killed in Europe. I'm just saying at the same time that there are certain things that we see that seem to correlate. The Navi says, don't take credit for your success. I have to think about the fact that people are talking, was it Netanyahu's brilliance today that we're not in this trouble? Was it the brilliance of the Israeli consumer, the Israeli businesses? People give all kinds of reasons why the economic crunch all around the world here in Israel seems to be not as harsh. And I look at this pasuk and I say to myself, maybe this is what we should be thinking. Maybe we're happy over nothing. Maybe we have to realize it's not our spin. Hashem wanted that we should make it out of this economic crisis so far.
We should always be thinking that. But that's what I'm saying. It shouldn't just be when things are going on. The general theme of the Jewish people is to always thank Hashem for everything. Manishma Baruch Hashem, Manini Baruch Hashem. But sometimes it's said, what does that mean, Baruch Hashem? You know, was there ever a time in Judaism where the Jewish people were consistently at a high level, but only during Shlomo Melech's reign? Because it seems there's a general theme that we are always, you know, we're never doing fully the will of the Kaddish Baruch Hu 100% the way that He designed us as an.
It seems like within our design was the design to go up and to go down. Even in the Shema that we say, the first parsha describes keeping mitzvahs in Israel. The second parsha describes what happens after your exile. Think about it. Every day we're discussing keeping mitzvahs when we're here, keeping mitzvahs when we're there. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah tells the Jewish people, part of his parting speech is, I know you guys are going to mess up. I know there'll come a time when you'll be exiled. And here's the song I want you to take with you, the song of Ha'azinu. Because Moshe says, I recognize you guys are not going to always be on a high. How long are our highs? How long are our lows? That's up to us. We have to try and maintain a high. But it's almost as though the Torah says, that's not the way it's going to be. I know you're not going to live up to it. And that's part of life. Our sages say that Adam really could have lived up to the test. He shouldn't have fallen. David shouldn't have fallen. The Jewish people with the golden calf shouldn't have fallen. At the same time, God wanted these great people to fall so that every person will have someone to look up to and say, you know, someone before me fell really bad. And even the Jewish people as a whole, when we are down, we're supposed to look back and say, hey, wait a second. The Jewish people in the desert also had a very serious fall when they served the golden calf. And that's supposed to give us encouragement that we've made it out of our downfalls before and we'll make it out again. So the Gemara says, "Im nafal yadam yachid," if an individual fell, "Omrim lo," we say to him, "Kalach etzel yachid," go gather by the individuals in history that fell and made it back up. And if the tzibur fell, if the congregation fell, we tell them, "Kalchu etzel rabim," go look at the masses. This isn't the first time in Jewish history that the Jews have fallen. So in a certain sense, we're always expected to get back up. God doesn't expect of us perfection. We strive for perfection. What God expects of us is to get back up.